You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Y'all, I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day weekend, man. I hope y'all showed a lot of love to your moms out there. Flowers, dinner, activities throughout the day, whatever it may have been, man, I hope you showed appreciation to your mothers. And also thoughts and prayers go out to those who do not have their mother, whose mother is no longer here with them. So again, man, I hope everybody had a great weekend overall. New week, obviously, man, a lot of good stuff going on in the sports world. But for today's episode, man, I just want to zero in on the NBA, man, because we got the Eastern and the Western Conference Finals that are going down this week. And one of those games is happening tonight. But yeah, man, we've got a lot of good games that we've seen up until this point throughout the playoffs. I will say it has been an entertaining NBA playoffs this year. So, you know, like I said, man, it's been competitive. We've seen a lot of great games, a lot of great performances from the superstars, and we've seen some not so great performances from superstars. So we'll get all the way into that, man. So let's talk NBA, man. Let's talk about what's going on in this East and West Conference right now, man. So I just want to first and foremost do a recap of the Eastern Western semifinals, what we just saw leading up into where we are right now, and then we're gonna do an Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals preview, and then I'll talk about the X factors of those for each of these teams, and I'll give you my prediction on who I feel like is going to advance to the NBA Finals. So just to jump in, man, like I said, just to give a little recap, the Celtics absolutely destroyed the Philadelphia 76ers 112-88 in Game 7 to take the series 4-3. Tatum, man, finished with 51 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. Most in a Game 7 in NBA history. So history was made, man, on Sunday. Jaylen Brown, man, followed that up with 25 points. Malcolm Brogdon had 12 points off the bench. The Celtics actually shot 47% from the field, 45% from the three-point line, and 83% from the free throw line. Man, when I tell you this was an old-fashioned, you know what, man? Like it was crazy, man. Just to see what Boston was able to get out there and do on the court. And you kind of figured that it would end up that way, man. I mean, you go back to Game 6, you know, they did not have a great shooting performance at all. Jason Tatum struggled tremendously. Jaylen Brown struggled. Al Horford struggled. But Tatum was able to come alive in the fourth quarter of that game and was able to hit some big threes back-to-back-to-back and help push the Celtics past the Sixers and put that even more pressure on them having to go on the road to come into Boston. You just knew that they were not going to have another shooting performance like they did in Game 6. I mean, it got to the point where they were pouring it on so bad. It was like, I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, do we even have to play the fourth quarter? Like, just stop the game in the third, bro. Like, we don't even need to see we don't need to see anything else. These guys are done. They're cooked. So, James Harden, 9 points, Embiid, 15 points. They both finished with 24 points combined. 1 of 9 from the 3 combined, 8 of 29 from the field combined. That's 27% from the both of your superstars, Doc Rivers. Both of your superstars, 27% from the field. Not going to cut it. And like I said, the Sixers blew it, and I knew they blew it. Everybody knew they blew it, and I feel like even the 76ers fans knew that they blew it. You're up 3-2 in a closeout game at home in Philadelphia, and you can't get that job done? Hey, it's time to go. Somebody, Doc Rivers, I'm sorry, man. Doc Rivers is probably up out of there. Harden, who knows what he's going to do. He'll probably ask to go to be traded back somewhere else like he always does because he's ducking the smoke every time. When the moment is big, the lights are too bright for James Harden. That's why I never bet my money on James Harden. I tell people this each and every year. I don't care what he does in the regular season. He can average 50 a game and whatever. But come time for the postseason, when it really counts, when it really matters, he does not show up. He's been in prime position plenty of times to win series and has fumbled tremendously. Do not trust James Harden. I just never will. And if you do, I'm sorry. If you do, I'm sorry that you want to put yourself through that type of pain each and every year. But I can't do it. I've always said James Harden is going to have to show me before I believe in him in the postseason at all. So, hey, like I said, man, Sixers didn't take advantage of your opportunity. Failed to do so. I mean, you stole a game in Boston, first game, got that home court advantage back. I mean, you stole a home court advantage and you lost it back. So, you know, that's what happens when you don't come out focused, when you have Embiid playing lackadaisical, acting like he didn't even want to be out there on the court. He looked lost and tired. And James Harden, I don't know what he was doing. I honestly, I don't even know if there is a word to describe what James Harden was doing on the court. So I'm not even going to get into that at all. We just know what it is. And hey, the Celtics, they're going to face the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. And we know the Heat, they knocked off the Knicks 4-2 in that series. So let's move on to the West semifinal matchup that we just saw. And the Lakers knocked off the defending NBA champions, the Golden State Warriors, 122-101 in game 6 to take that series 4-2. Bron finished with 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists in that one. Austin Reeves, big 23 points for the Lakers. Anthony Davis finished with 17 points and 20 rebounds. D'Angelo Russell also had 19 points. So solid games from all four of those guys. The Lakers, they shot 52% from the field, 50% from the three-point line, and their largest lead in this one was 24 points, actually. So they just about won by that anyway. And, I mean, throughout this game, I mean, the Lakers, they came out running, they came out swinging, and they got a lead, and they never lost it. I mean, the Warriors would chip away at it, but Lakers would go on a run right after. And it just got to the point where it was too much for the Warriors. They shot terribly in this game. Steph Curry, he finished with 32 points. Klay, 8 points. 3 of 19 from the field, 2 of 12 from 3. That's not going to get it done. It's not going to cut it. Andrew Wiggins had just 6 points. I know that we all know he was battling the rib cage injury to his ribs. So I'm not sure how painful that was with him playing, but he still went out there. He got 6 points. And DiVincenzo, 16 points off the bench. Kevon Looney had 9 points. Both of these guys had more points than Klay Thompson. Like, Klay Thompson looked so washed out there on the court. Like, it wasn't even funny. It was like, you could tell that it was literally like, at one point, he was just throwing the ball up, just hoping that it would fall in. It was no mechanics to some of those shots. He just caught it and just threw it. And I know that he does that, you know, majority of the time when he's playing. But some of those catch and shoots were just like, please go in. Like, I don't even, it's like he wasn't even trying to set himself to make the shot. He just catch it and just, you know what, I just hope and pray that this goes in. I just need to see one fall. And he was rushing his shots. Like, he hit a couple, like I said, but he was rushing it. He got frustrated. Shots weren't falling. He kept shooting, still weren't falling. Hey, I mean, he couldn't even score from inside the 3-point line. I mean, he was getting his shot blocked. He was missing jumpers. He was missing layups. They were turning the ball over. That's not gonna get it done. I mean, it's just not. They said they did not shoot well in this series overall. And the Lakers, they were just too big and too fast for them. So they're going to be advancing to face the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, man. And as we all know, the Nuggets knocked off the Phoenix Suns 4-2. So they've been resting and waiting on the winner of this series. So yeah, man. Yeah, those are. And you know what? I wanted to go back to something Embiid said. And I'll continue going after this. After the game, Joel Embiid, after the game seven with the Celtics and the Sixers, Joel Embiid was like, I guess he got asked about, you know, how he felt about the game. And he went on to say, like, you know, that's why, you know, me and James Harden, we can't win it by ourselves. And that's why the game is played 5-on-5. And for me, that was just a trash response from the so-called MVP of the league. That's a trash response because you went out there and you played terribly and you didn't handle your business and do your job as a superstar on your team. Now you have to blame everybody else. You and James Harden can't do it all. Y'all didn't even do anything. What did y'all do to contribute to trying to win that game? Nothing. What is it? I'm just curious to know what exactly it is that they did in Game 7 that stood out amongst the rest. Like, what did they do? I mean, Maxey had more points. And Tyrese Maxey was consistent throughout the series. I mean, really throughout the playoffs. Tyrese Maxey was doing his job. So, look. I say all that to say, man, take accountability. Don't get up there and talk about, you know, y'all can't win it all on, you know, you and James Harden when both of y'all failed your team. If we want to be 100 about it, y'all failed your team. So take accountability as the MVP and say you didn't handle business and you didn't do your job correctly. And that's why y'all are in the position y'all are in, man. So now it's probably going to get blown up. The team's probably going to get blown up. So we'll see. But I just know, man, I have a coworker that is from Philadelphia. He's a diehard Sixers, Eagles fan, all Philadelphia, man. I know he's in so much pain right now. Like, I already know. It's that's real pain. But yeah, man, let's keep it going. Let's keep it rolling and get on our next topic, man. So continuing on, let's look at the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals. So we're going to preview the matchups, man, and I'm going to give the X factors for each team and then also my prediction of the series. So let's start off with the game that's happening tonight, actually. I usually go East and then West, but let's start off with the Western Conference Finals because that game is going down tonight. Lakers versus Nuggets, man. Game 1, 8:30 p.m. in Denver. They met in the Western Conference Final, as you all know, in the bubble in 2020, as well as the Heat and the Celtics. So this is a rematch of the bubble finals, Eastern and Western Conference again. Lakers won that series 4-1. Now, the regular season series for this year is actually tied 2-2. So they split that. The Lakers postseason leaders right now are LeBron James, of course, who's averaging 23 points and 10 rebounds. And you got Anthony Davis, who's averaging 21 points and 14 rebounds. The Nuggets postseason leaders are Jokic. He's averaging 30 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists. That's leading the team in all three of those categories. And Jamal Murray, who's averaging 25 points. Now, let's talk about X Factor. So, my X Factor for the Los Angeles Lakers is going to be Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves, he's currently shooting 43% from the field, 39% from three, and 85% from the free throw line in the postseason. And then, versus the Nuggets in particular, the games that they played this year against the Nuggets, he's shooting 55% from the field, 50% from the three-point line, and 85% from the line. So Austin Reeves has utilized his size and his length to his advantage, and he does that really well. And he's given the Lakers some tough, really tough minutes, makes tough buckets, and really brings that energy to the Lakers fan base. I mean, this is his second year, I want to say, and he's really come into his own and found his way into this lineup. So, I think Austin is definitely the X factor that I'm going with the Lakers. And on the Nuggets side, man, the X factor for me for the Nuggets is going to be Michael Porter Jr. So Michael Porter Jr. shooting 47% from the field, 40% from three in the postseason versus the Lakers in particular, 35% from the field, 31% from three. So Michael Porter Jr. is a very streaky shooter. He hasn't shot as well against the Lakers as he has in the postseason. Like the percentages are lower when he's played against the Lakers. But the way that he's been shooting lately in this postseason can actually change that, man. I mean, you watch that series against the Suns. I mean, how he was knocking down tough shots. He was knocking down pretty much automatic from the corner three. Was knocking those down, and I mean, he really gave them some quality minutes and some really good offensive production. So, you know, that's why I'm going with Michael Porter Jr., man. I think that he's a guy that can change the game with his ability to make the 3-point shot, and also with his length and his size, he's able to help stretch the floor. He can attack. He can do some really good things in the paint for them as well. So he's not just a shooter. He can drive and he can make tough baskets as well. So interested to see, you know, how Austin Reeves and Michael Porter Jr. Shake out in this series, man. But those are my two X factors. And let's go with my prediction for this series. So looking at this matchup, man, I know, like I said, last time that they faced in the bubble in the Western Conference Finals, the Lakers won 4-1. But this year, I'm rocking with the Denver Nuggets in six, man. This is a new Denver. This is a whole different Denver Nuggets team than they were 3 years ago. I think that the Nuggets are on a roll right now. Jokic is balling out of his mind. A lot of people argue that should have been the MVP this year. But, you know, it is what it is when it comes to that. But Jokic is balling out of his mind. I feel like the Nuggets have the I think the Nuggets have a slightly deeper team than the Lakers. I'm not saying that the Lakers don't have they don't have a pretty solid bench, but I do think that the Nuggets are a little deeper than them. I mean, you look at aside from Jokic and Murray and Michael Porter Jr., you got Aaron Gordon, you got KCP, you got Bruce Brown, you know, you got Braun from Kansas. I mean, these guys, I mean, they have some solid players coming off the bench, too. And Green, I don't even know how he's still even playing basketball right now. He's like 37, but, you know, he'll hit a shot here and there. But I think that, you know, collectively, I think I like this group, and they play really well together. And, you know, like I said, I just think that this is their time to get over that hump and get to the NBA Finals. So, you know, I'm rocking with the Nuggets, in six games. I think Jokic will have a really solid series. It'll be interesting to see that battle between him and Anthony Davis and to see who comes out on top there, this time around. And then all, you know, at that point, it's going to come down to, you know, the role players what role players are going to step up, you know, outside of obviously Bron and Anthony Davis. They're going to do their thing here and there. But, you know, with Anthony Davis, you never know what you're going to get out of Anthony Davis. You know, you don't know. He could give you the 30 or 40 a game, one game, and he could give you 5 to 10 points another game. You don't know. You just don't. Who knows? But I'm rocking with the Nuggets. That's my pick. And we're going to keep it moving, man. So let's talk Eastern Conference Finals. So the Heat versus the Celtics, man, that is game one that will be going down tomorrow. That's Wednesday at Boston at 8:30 p.m. They're going to meet for the third time in 4 years in the playoffs. So their regular season series is actually tied as well, 2-2. The Heat postseason leaders are Jimmy Butler, obviously. Who's averaging 31 points. And then you got Bam Adebayo, who's averaging 18 points and 9 rebounds. The Celtics postseason leaders are Jason Tatum, averaging 28 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. He's leading the team in all three of those categories. And then you have Brown, who's actually averaging 24 points. Now, the Heat X factors, that I'm going to go with is Max Strus. So Max Strus is shooting 47% from the field, 36% from three, and 83% from the line in this postseason. At TD Garden specifically, and I mentioned at TD Garden because they're going to be going, you know, to Boston. So in the two games that they played out of the regular season series, when they played in Boston, he shot 44% from the field, 37% from three, and 83% from the line. Now, when Strus is knocking down, you know, threes and he's on fire from that 3-point line, the Heater, they're even tougher team to beat. They're already a tough team to beat because of the way that they scratch and claw and fight and just are never out of a game. They just have that resiliency about themselves and that never give up attitude. They just keep coming at you. And when Strus is on and knocking down those shots, it just makes it even tougher, man. Because he's also a streaky shooter as well. Like, he can rack off 3, 4, 5 threes in a row. he can from the top of the key. Like, he's very solid when it comes to and very efficient when it comes to shooting the three. And then the X factor for the Celtics, man, I'm going with Malcolm Brogdon. So Brogdon right now in the postseason shooting 44% from the field, 43% from three, 84% from the line, versus Miami in particular, 42% from the field, 58% from three, and 83% from the line. So 58% from three, that's huge. You know, obviously, you know, he's doing something right. I know they played four times, and to shoot 58% from three in four games, that's huge. So Brogdon has had his way with finding his shots from the 3-point line against the Heat, and you know, he gives the Celtics quality minutes off the bench. I mean, he provides that extra energy that they need, you know, when starters are resting. You know, he's come in and he's been very solid for them. And I think that he provides that spark off the bench that they need. So with this matchup, I'm going to predict the Celtics in six for this one. This is a series. I mean, this could easily go seven games too. You know, this could go seven games. I mean, we saw the last time these two teams met in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, Jimmy Butler, it actually went seven games. Miami was at home. And if y'all remember correctly, Jimmy missed a go-ahead three in transition in game seven that would have sent the Heat to the NBA Finals at the buzzer. And a lot of people, you know, even me watching the game, like, question, like, why would he shoot that three coming up the court? Why not just drive? But, you know, Jimmy Butler decided to go for it all. I probably would have drove because Jimmy has the ability to get to the free throw line. So if it was me, if I was Jimmy Butler, I'm driving that and forcing Al Horford to stop me, especially because you had Al Horford backpedaling. And so that's the perfect time. You attack Al Horford, you force him to foul you, and then you could have gotten a tough bucket. That could have been an and one. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, no pun intended, he felt like, you know, shooting the three was the best thing at that point in time. And he almost made it. You know, it was a good look. But I think that he should have probably handled that a little bit differently. Now, I think that when he goes back and looks at that, I'm pretty sure he's like, man, I probably should have drove and put that pressure on Al Horford. I mean, like I said, you had Horford backpedaling, so why not attack and try to get to the line? But yeah, I'm going Celtics in six, Nuggets in six, Celtics versus Nuggets for the NBA Finals. That's my prediction. I'm sticking to that. I'm not changing it. So yeah, like I said, man, definitely excited about where both of these two series are going. And let me just say this as well. I saw people, and this is before I get to my last topic. I saw people talking about, you know, how I mentioned that this is the rematch of the bubble from 2020. And people were like, oh, they're all over Twitter talking about, oh, yeah. And they said the bubble was a fluke and you can't tell me the bubble wasn't real. And the first of all, why are y'all even mentioning the bubble? That was 3 years ago. This would have made more sense to say it had this matchup, this same Eastern and Western Conference Finals matchup happen back to back. Then, okay, cool, you could have said that. But y'all are bringing up irrelevant stuff from 3 years ago to try to start and paint this narrative that, oh, the bubble wasn't fake and all this stuff. Like, just give it a rest, okay? Like, it was 3 years ago. The matchup is the same. Yes, we understand. But that has nothing to do with the stop trying to use this to validate and strengthen the whole bubble argument. There were no fans. It was, everybody knows that bubble, I mean, like I said, like, not to take anything away from the Lakers. Yeah, the Lakers won, cool, but let's not sit up here and act like that was as legit as all the other finals that have been won. You know, I mean, I just don't get the whole bringing up the whole, you telling me the bubble was, you can't say that the bubble wasn't fake and that it wasn't a fluke and all this other stuff. That has nothing to do with what we're watching right now. So just, like I said, give that a rest. I get y'all trying to start this narrative, but it's really, it's not making any sense. It's not making any sense. So yeah, I had to get that off my chest because I've just been taken back and confused as to why people were doing that. I'm like, it was 2020. Last time I checked, it's 2023. But like I said, it would have been valid if that argument would have made more sense if these matchups would have been back to back. So whatever. Look, at the end of the day, hey, look, whatever helps you sleep at night, whatever makes you feel better, hey, do you. That's all I got to say about that. And last but not least, man, just wanted to touch quickly on this situation with Ja Morant, man. And Ja Morant was suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies after a video surfaced of him showing a gun on Instagram Live. He was in the car with his friend. And his friend had live. He was in the car with, I want to say, two of his friends. And his friend that was driving in particular had his live on, and Ja pulls out a gun and flashes it. And of course, somebody screenshots it, and now it's viral around the world. And Ja has found himself yet again into some trouble, into some issues with the league, facing another suspension. And I just don't understand. I mean, I'm trying to wrap my head around what Ja Morant is trying to do. Like, bro, like, you make millions of dollars. And you know what? Let me just even scratch that, because just because somebody makes millions of dollars, money can't buy happiness. And there's something seriously wrong. Like, at first, before, I was just like, you know what? He's young. He's just acting out like he's whatever. I mean, he's a man at the end of the day, but I was just saying, like, you know, he's a grown man, so he makes his own decisions. But when the situation first happened, I was like, all right, you know, it was whatever. I mean, y'all are blowing this out of proportion. Like, yeah, he messed up. He shouldn't have, whatever. Like, I felt like they kind of tried to make him seem, I felt like they were blowing it up, and it was just like that one incident, and you kind of question, you like, Ja, like, is this something really wrong, bro? But now I'm really sitting there like, bro, like, it might be, it's something is off, bro. For you to feel like that you gotta be a gangster, bro, and you're not a gangster, dog. Like, what are you trying to prove? You're in the NBA. You didn't grow up like that. You did not grow up in that lifestyle. You're not a Crip. You're not in gangs, bro. That's not you. So stop trying to put up this image of yourself that's not real. I just don't understand why he feels the need to have to do that. But, you know, there's a deeper rooted issue there that needs to be addressed. And, you know, the statement that was put out after the last incident, like it was almost like we all knew that he didn't actually say that. It was written for him. Because he went right back to doing whatever it is, doing what he does. So why paint this picture and put this microscope on yourself now? To be that you went from being this player that, you know, everybody was inspired to watch, like you have a great story, you know, the underdog, you know, playing with a chip on your shoulder, like coming out of Murray State and really like making a statement in the tournament, upsetting some teams. You know, the way that he was under recruited and the coach from Murray State found him, like he has a really great story. But then now it's like you get in the NBA, you get around the money, and now you're acting out. You're acting like you a gang member, you a gangster, bro. Like you're not. Just, I don't know, man. It's really frustrating because I want the best for Ja. I want Ja to be successful in the NBA. I really do. I want him to win the NBA Finals. And I'm not saying that he can't or that he never will, but he needs to get his mental health in order or whatever it is that he's going through right now. It needs to be addressed. His father needs to sit down and talk to him. Like, we figure out what is it? What's going on? Because it's not making any sense. You're throwing away your future for literally no reason. So, look, I hope Ja gets it together. Because, look, it's no excuses. I hope he gets it together. I hope his dad talks to him. I hope his family, you know, obviously they're going to be there to support him. But whatever, the people that you rolling with, Ja, they're not your friends, bro. Those are not your friends, bro. And the sooner that you realize that, the better off that you'll be. Those dudes are not your friends because your friends would not let you do stuff like that and let you put yourself in a position that you're in right now. They would tell you when you're wrong and tell you about yourself. Like, I don't know, man. Just, I hope he gets it together. I really do. I really do. But hey, y'all, look, again, I appreciate y'all rocking with me, giving me some of your time, talking some NBA. Like I said, it was heavy NBA today. I know I usually, you know, bounce back and forth between that and football. And, you know, we got baseball season going on right now. But I just wanted to, like I said, really dive deep into those matchups and stuff like that. And then I'll come back again, man, and give y'all some more on the next episode, man. So keep rocking with me, man. I'll be back. Look, be blessed. Enjoy these playoffs. I'll be updating as we go on. Next time I come on, it'll be a little few games in, but we'll do a little backtrack and do a little recap, and then, you know, look ahead and look forward to you know, what else is to come. So look, hey, see y'all next time, man. Peace, blessings. I'm out.